Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make Matt, it happen.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm Scott Van Pelt here at ESPN. This astounding and unprecedented story continues to evolve. At halftime with Adrian Wojnarowski, I suggested that we would speak to him soon. I had no idea that it would be this soon. He has just tweeted within the past 2 minutes that the NBA is suspending the season. I say that understanding that as we speak, the game in Dallas is continuing. Ryan Rucco in Dallas, the game is continuing.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Jordan Malley, Matt Peck here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. You wanna talk about what just happened over the last, 14, 16 hours here in the NBA, in the sports world in general? Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Matt, this is not the way I was predicting a full week of Bulls basketball, NBA basketball, March Madness to start, the NBA now officially canceling their season. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Emmanuel Mudiay among the three players that have tested positive for coronavirus. I think this pretty much tipped it over the scale, but what are you thinking over the last 24 hours and how you doing?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, this is a weird morning and a weird yesterday evening. You just played that clip of SVP doing a breaking news hit in the middle of the Mavs Nuggets game that had just resumed after halftime that the NBA was being suspended indefinitely. And, you know, they finished that game, all of the other games that were in progress completed last night. But then, you know, there was supposed to be the second half of a doubleheader on ESPN, the late game. I think it was Kings Pelicans. And they decided to cancel that game. And now what we're hearing is that the NBA will be shut down for at least the next 2 weeks as they try to talk, you know, Adam Silver and league executives as well as ownership and figure out what the likely plan of action can be to not completely lose this season, but to perhaps postpone it, maybe eliminating the remainder of the regular season and take playoff seeds as they are today, and then maybe have like a shortened playoff or a delayed playoff. It's just kind of crazy because I think whether it's this or anything else, you always view sports as an escape. I think a lot of sports fans like ourselves do view sports as an escape. And when real world shit like this infiltrates our escape, the universe that we go to just enjoy ourselves, and have this happy, you know, guilt-free vice of ours to just enjoy sports for what they are, it's pretty sobering.
It's been an eerie past 24 hours or so. And, you know, last night I was at a buddy's place in the city and we were watching IU play Nebraska. One of the things that happened in that game, too, is we saw Brett Hoiberg visibly sick on the bench, and he had left about 5 or 6 minutes before the game had been over. People were in fear that he had tested positive for coronavirus. They brought him to the hospital. Luckily, he did not. He just had the flu. So that's good to hear, but the NCAA doing the same thing. They're, as of right now when we're recording just after 10:30, they're still planning on playing most of their games. Some of the tournaments have been shut down, but I think this is the most proactive and definitely the best idea for the NBA. And I don't think really they had a choice. I mean, if they don't do it now, what's to say next week that they wouldn't have had to do this anyway? And you think about all the connections that have been with the Jazz or who the Jazz were playing tonight, or the refs that were in contact with them too out in the Pelicans game that they were going to play. A lot of these connections that were happening were in fear that this was going to spread if they continued to to play these games. And I saw a tweet, too, that was lining up every single team in the NBA had some type of connection to the Jazz, or who are they playing tonight? The Rockets, right? Or they were supposed to play the Rockets, correct? Either the Jazz or the Rockets over the last 5 days. It's pretty scary to think about that and how fast it would spread. So I do applaud the NBA for putting things at a halt and trying to come up with any type of solution.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get a positive test result for an NBA player, there is no more room for half measures. Obviously, you know, we'll see how other leagues and other, you know, college athletics, you know, with the tourney coming up, how, you know, other leagues handle it. But the NBA has always been, in recent years, you know, as Adam Silver has taken the reins for David Stern, very progressive and very swift into action, especially with big picture concerns like these. So as disappointing as it must be for some Bulls or for some Bulls fans, or probably NBA fans, I'm sure Bulls fans listening to this podcast are okay with getting a break from watching the product that the Bulls have put forth for us this season. But even still, just looking forward to the final stretch of the regular season and playoff battle and positioning battles going on in both the Eastern and Western conferences, and then getting hyped up for the NBA playoffs, which, you know, I know, like me, Jordan, you find NBA playoffs to be one of the greatest parts of the year. I love playoff basketball, and even when the Bulls aren't involved, I just completely immerse myself in it. And now we're almost certainly not going to get playoff basketball when it usually comes around as far as the calendar year, and hopefully we won't lose it entirely and this season won't just be lost with, you know, three quarters of a regular season and no playoffs and no champion crowned. But there, you know, as I said, there's no room for half measure. When a player in the league tests positive, and then, you know, you started thinking and seeing these tweets last night about, okay, well, so a player on the Jazz has it. Who of the Jazz played recently? Who, in addition to Rudy Gobert's teammates, have been exposed to this over the last, you know, 10 to 14 days? Because when you start doing the math about this team traveled to this city and this team played this team that night, and then, like, you know, the Cavs played the Jazz I think like 8 or 9 days ago before coming to the United Center and playing the Bulls. So it's like all of these teams, you connect the dots about where and how this may have spread so quickly. Shutting everything down was the only logical option, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think not only just for the safety of the players, but more importantly, how quickly it could spread to your fans. If your fans are in the same building as a player who's contagious or somebody who works on the team, this, I don't think here in the U.S., and I know a lot of there's a lot of our listeners that don't live here in the United States, so things are a little bit different across the world, but I don't think people here, and we're starting to realize this quickly with all the cancellations of sports, this has been kind of people's wake-up call, in a sense. People weren't taking this nearly as seriously as I think they needed to and didn't realize how quickly this can spread. I think the more scary part about this, Matt, is the fact that it's uncharted territory. It's kind of an unknown. I mean, we can talk and sit here for the next 2 weeks and talk about, oh, well, you know, the NBA is coming up with a contingency plan on, well, maybe they'll play some games in cities that haven't been affected, or maybe they'll just go cut straight to the playoffs after a month off. And we really have no idea if this thing is going to be significantly better, this situation is going to be significantly improved over the next month or so. I mean, we could be sitting here in June or July and still be talking about the same scenario where teams in the league are still trying to figure out what they can do and what they can't. So this is a weird, weird situation, but I'm glad the NBA is taking proactive steps instead of just kind of being complacent about the whole thing. Because again, it's only, what, 17 games, 13 games, 14 games for some teams left in the season. I think, and personally, we can maybe shift topics a little bit as to how the NBA, if they were going to come up with plan B, C, D, E, if things do improve, what should they do? And I think the idea of going straight to the playoffs is probably the best idea at this point.
Yeah, I think that to me is the most logical option. And while it would suck for those teams, you know, particularly out there in the Western Conference where things are tight and there are, you know, four or five teams vying for that eighth and final playoff spot, you know, for them to just say, all right, the standings as is, is what we're taking into the postseason when we can resume. It's unfortunate for those teams on the outside of that bubble, but to me, it's also the most logical path forward to not lose the season. Because when you start thinking about how the calendar has to work out, Mavs owner Mark Cuban, who was first interviewed just, you know, courtside in his baseline seat during that game last night, offering his initial thoughts and has continued to offer them, says he could see the league resuming and playoffs going into as late as like early August. And if that were the case, then you start to think about, well, wait, how do the other elements of an NBA calendar year fit into that schedule? Because it's not just, then you're going from the playoffs ending in August to getting ready for spring training for training camp in like September. That's a very short window. The teams and players wouldn't have an offseason, essentially. It's certainly at least the teams making deep playoff runs. But not only that, then what happens to the draft? When do you do the draft? When do you start the summer of free agency? And do you do that while playoffs are going on? How the hell would all of that work? It gets more and more complicated the more factors you start to think about.
Right. It's definitely bizarre. And I'm just trying to think of it from a standpoint of, this is certainly going to affect next season 100%. And, you know, best case scenario at this point is they eventually figure out a way to be able to start the playoffs a month from now, a month and a half, 2 months, if things start to improve here in this country. If they don't, then we're talking about, like Mark Cuban was talking about, season and games being played into August. That affecting next season, like, think about it for a second. If playoff games in, say, the NBA Finals is in August instead of late May, early June, we're talking about maybe having to go to a lockout type of season where we only play, 45, 50 games of next season, too? That can have a substantial effect on teams, revenue that the NBA is making, all of this. Like, the factors just behind this postponement of the season goes many, many layers, and it's kind of crazy to think about. And I don't know if we all truly have wrapped our brains around it yet, and maybe in the coming weeks we'll have a better understanding of all of this, but I can't think of anything I've lived through, Matt, in the 25 years I've been alive, or 26, I should say, that has impacted this more. And people have brought up 9/11. I think that's probably second on this list, but it stopped stuff for a few days, but nothing like this where we're thinking that this could be weeks or maybe even months without playing or continuing to play.
Yeah, and that makes me think of, I was listening to a recent episode of the Joe Rogan podcast, and he had on some medical expert private sector, you know, health organization group. And he was, you know, quizzing him and asking him all these various details about the coronavirus. And this expert on the Rogan podcast said that some people are looking at this like it is a blizzard, but it's going to be more of a winter. This isn't a 2 or 3 day thing or a 2 or 3 week thing. This is something that will be an issue, especially when you talk about some of the rapidly growing numbers, like the cases reported here in the United States doubling every 48 hours, essentially. And the fact that now it's spread into the world of sports and some of these professional athletes are testing positive. It's going to take months for this to be solved. And there's going to be a lot of sick people, and there's going to be a significant amount of fatalities, unfortunately, before this is actually wrangled under control. And I think for a long time in these recent weeks and months, people thought it was going to be more a blizzard, but we have to prepare for a winter. And it's really unfortunate, but there is no way to handle it other than being as safe and taking as many precautions as possible, which, just for the record, as we are recording here, Jordan, breaking news, the AAC tournament and the Big Ten tournament have both been canceled. You know, people have been wondering why college hoops and specific conference tournaments have been not canceled yet, because the NBA took that step. And now we're waiting to see maybe if the entire March Madness tournament itself will be canceled. That has not happened yet, but more big conference tournaments now being canceled as we sit here late in the morning on Thursday.
Yeah, I think if you asked me yesterday, I was even telling my buddy this. I was like, it's just a matter of time, man. Like, the Big Ten's lucky they got two games in. And, I mean, I know there's a Big East DePaul game supposed to go on tonight against Villanova. I doubt that's out. I'm pretty sure that's going to get canceled. So it's crazy. I want to go back to the effects of NCAA in a minute, but that Joe Rogan episode is fantastic. An hour and 34 minutes, and I was sitting straight up listening, watching the entire time. The guy's name is Michael Osterholm. He's recognized as the expert in infectious disease epidemiology. I thought he was very well informed and very calm, very direct, very honest about what this is, what it can do, and how we help to prevent it. Because it doesn't sound like it's going to stop. It's not one of those things that we can stop completely anymore. It's just, how can we prevent this from completely screwing up our country and this entire world? So it's definitely a good listen. You should definitely listen to that. But more directly, Matt, you and I both work in sports full time. So the effect that this has on our industry, I think, is unique and bizarre at the same time, because not any of us have ever experienced something like this. And you even talk to people that have been in the industry for 20, 30 years, they don't remember anything like this. Again, this is uncharted territory for a lot of people who still have to go in and do their jobs every single day. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of different people talk about having to go home, stay at home for 2-3 weeks and work from home. In media, it's a little bit different. We don't really have that luxury. At least the podcast does, but some of the other things that we do don't have that luxury. So it is definitely going to be strange over the next, I would say, 2-3 weeks at the very least.
Yeah, and that's something that was certainly, you know, on my mind, and you heard about on Twitter last night, as not only, you know, the news of, okay, well, Rudy Gobert tested positive. How many players, teammates, or otherwise that he's come in contact with will now test positive? But you also were seeing tweets from members of the media who were there getting ready to cover that Jazz Thunder game, saying, okay, well, now, you know, we've all been here on the court, along baseline, along sidelines, getting ready to cover this game. And now media members have to get tested, and media members were temporarily held in quarantine as well. And, you know, fortunately, you've seen a lot of NBA media members who were there last night now giving updates from their private Twitter account saying, you know, tested negative, tested negative, tested negative. So, you know, hopefully that's the case across the board. But now the inner workings and inner relationships of players and media and all of the contact that exists there, which is why you saw the NBA take preliminary measures before they announced that Gobert had tested positive in the last couple of days, where they banned media from locker rooms and they set up new pre and post games, areas to do interviews with players and coaches, and kept a distance of, 6 to 8 feet between players and media. And that was kind of a half measure before the full measure, because we, I guess didn't know just how dangerous it could be as far as whether players had it, whether any members of the media had it. But now, I mean, how will they address that if and when they resume? Because even once they feel like things have gotten under control and no players are testing positive for this anymore, but there are still positive cases at large around the country, what is that relationship and how does that resume?
Right. And it's very difficult too. And I mean, I think from a personal standpoint, Matt, too, to just kind of think about this in our own lives, you and I'm not necessarily worried about, even if we do contract it, which just from reading and listening to a lot of this is, even with the spread of it, it sounds like anywhere between 20 and 70% of the United States could end up having coronavirus at one time over the next 12 months. It's more the people with pre-diagnosed conditions. It's the older people in our communities, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, or maybe even our parents too. That's really the person who I'm concerned about spreading this to. And I think that's something that I wish, our generation and even the younger generation kind of realize, that the damage that they're doing may not affect them, but it's going to affect a lot of other people, like we were just talking about earlier. A lot of the deaths that may end up happening, we see over the next couple of months. I'm glad we're trying to do everything now, but it just makes me curious about why we weren't as prepped. And even from a sports angle, a lot of these organizations, a lot of these leagues weren't really prepared for this, when you would think that there would be some type of contingency plan in place. It feels like a lot of this was scrambled together, especially last night. Consider last night, Matt. We had the announcement that the NBA was going to suspend the season, and then the Dallas Mavericks game still going on. And then they were talking about the Pelicans game being played right after that and just saying, well, the games will be canceled as of tomorrow. And then we find out about the ref that may have been in contact with Rudy Gobert just a couple days earlier. Then players don't want to go out in there and play, so they cancel those games. But then there's guys like Lonzo Ball going out there on the floor after the game, putting up shots. Like, it's little things like this is just a complete and total disaster. And like you had talked about too, a lot of the OKC media being held in quarantine tunnels and kept in the building until they figured out exactly what was going on. So it is a bit bizarre to think about these huge professional leagues with all this money not having a plan for something worst case scenario like this to happen.
Yeah. Another domino falls as we're talking here, Jordan. The SEC tournament, in addition to Big Ten and ACC, has been canceled. I feel like this is just the beginning. We also heard, I believe earlier this morning, that Major League Soccer has shut down games until further notice for at least the next 30 days. And now you wonder about Major League Baseball. You know, we've been going through the spring training games for the last couple of weeks. The Cubs and White Sox both scheduled to have their season openers in just a couple of weeks' time, and you wonder what Major League Baseball is going to do between now and when all of these teams' first official games of the season are scheduled to start. Because do they play games but not let fans into the stadium, into the ballparks, like, you know, we initially thought might be the case with the tourney, with Bulls and NBA and with hockey games? Or are they going to shut it down entirely? I mean, we might be looking at a spring and early summer season where there just aren't any sports, which is crazy to think about. But when you think about the fact that we're talking about ourselves worried a little bit about exposure and who is contracting this, you know, grand scheme, yeah, it would suck if we don't have any sports to watch in the spring and the summertime, but there are bigger issues to worry about.
For sure, Matt. The one thing that I was thinking about too, if the MLB decides, or any of these leagues, you know, maybe if they do get clear and say a month from now things improve, that they decide to still continue on with the games, but maybe take an extra precaution by not letting fans back in. I saw a clip get tweeted out yesterday back to 2015 when the Sox and the Orioles played in Baltimore in front of literally no fans. I wanted you to hear this and our fans to hear this too. I know that we have a lot of listeners that don't watch White Sox baseball, nor maybe even be baseball fans, but this is how odd it sounds for a game to be broadcasted without any fans in the entire stadium. Listen to this real fast.
Because nobody's in the yard about the appropriate way to broadcast. So with Adam Jones coming up here in the seventh inning, Jones' approach to the plate with Carroll delivering. Jones will whack the son of a gun to center field. That's very deep. It's deep, and it's off the base of the wall. He will head to second base.
Sounds like we're listening
Adam
to the Masters.
Jones has a double.
Yeah.
And that green jacket is well within reach, Jim.
It's crazy.
Would everyone be just a little bit quieter? I'd like to hear the grass grow.
Seriously. So that's crazy, though. Like, that's the type of thing that might end up happening if games do in fact end up being played a month, 2 months from now, whenever they decide to do this. But I would guarantee the NBA and every other league is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to try and figure out any type of contingency plan where they can relocate these games, maybe just start the playoffs right away, whatever the case may be. But for right now, we're at a critical point, I think, just not even in sports, but just in our country in general, of really trying to contain the spread of this right now. Because we don't do that, every day that we allow people to continue to move around, continually infect everything, just gets worse and worse. So large major gatherings in most cities have been canceled. Over 1,000 people and under are really only allowed. Some cities have even gone to 250 and under. So it is very dangerous to think about. But I was even talking to you. I was texting you yesterday and told you how somebody had tested positive for it in Tower 1.
In your building, right?
Yeah, in Tower 1 of Prudential Plaza. Luckily, the score is in Tower 2. They had actually crews in there overnight, completely disinfecting the entire studios, every single floor. Les Grobstein doesn't miss a whole lot of shows over this will be his 50th year of broadcasting in general, but he never misses shows, and they told him to stay home last night so they could go in there, clean the studio real well, and so people could come in and do their shows today. So very scary, but yeah, seems like that was the only case in Prudential, and I know they're watching that closely because like 40 or 50% of the media here in Chicago works in Prudential Plaza just alone. So that's definitely scary to think about as well. But I think the last thing, just to kind of end on a lighter note, Matt, can we just talk about how dumb Rudy Gobert is? Like how stupid are you? Like, how stupid?
I mean, and have you seen Evan Fournier like standing for him on Twitter for the last 12 hours or so? Saying like, oh, everybody's going in on Rudy for this. It's like, it's not his fault. He didn't do anything. It's not like, are you really dying on that hill, man? Because, look, it's possible that Rudy is not the first player to contract this, and we just haven't figured out that other players have tested positive, and maybe he wasn't, you know, patient zero, so to speak, as far as players in the NBA. But with that bit he pulled at the podium the other day, where at first he pretended to, you know, wipe every microphone, every, you know, handheld recording device on the podium table, and then actually went and just touched all of the microphones. You think you're being funny. You think you're getting a joke. But then that other tweet we got from Woj this morning, when it was announced that Mitchell has it too, his teammate, and that he was Rudy Gobert, according to sources, being very cavalier about it in the team locker room, you know, touching his teammates, touching their stuff in their lockers, just, you know, because he thought this is one big joke. Like, dude, how dumb are you?
What are you doing?
What, maybe this is a situation where you don't want to pile all this blame onto one person, because, you know, he certainly isn't patient zero for this entire virus, but it looks so irresponsible and so stupid that you can't not put some kind of blame on this guy. And honestly, I was joking with my outsiders, John and Big Dave, and our producer Bulldog about this earlier this morning. Like, after this, I would be shocked to see Rudy Gobert get any votes for DPOY or all defensive team or all-star votes ever again. The dude has turned himself into a gigantic scapegoat.
And that sucks, man. I mean, again, it was shitty what he did and didn't take any of this stuff seriously, but he shouldn't be the scapegoat. And that's the thing that sucks with this thing, is like the mass hysteria and panic on social media. People are looking for somebody to blame, whether it be right for them to do that or not. Look, we all have our chance to tell Rudy Gobert he's an idiot and he infected one of his teammates because he was joking around and didn't take it seriously. But he shouldn't be the dude that gets crucified by this. I mean, it's not fair. We're not crucifying every single person that's infected with the coronavirus and telling them that this is their fault that everybody gets infected. He went about it the wrong way. He thought he was...
He's not numb.
And realistically, he wasn't, because he ended up with the coronavirus. So
The other thing that makes me like kind of smile, at least, you know, find some kind of humorous silver lining in this, Jordan, is thinking about how Paxson's going to spin this as some element to the excuse of the Bulls season, right? It's like, well, you know, when Derek went down, that really hurt us. Well, you know, when we got robbed of those final 17 games to really evaluate the talent we have, it really set us back.
We understand better than anyone.
We want Jim to be our head coach next season.
We'll get into plenty of that over the next couple of weeks. And that's, I think, what I kind of want to leave this episode off with, Matt, is in the time that is going to be spent without basketball actually being played, we'll still be here for you every single day, 5 days a week. For a lot of us, too, over the next couple of weeks, you may find yourself stuck at home, working from home, maybe just bored, isolation. A lot of people, maybe you're a college student out there and your online classes, whatever it may be, you're going to have a lot of time at home free. So we want to be here for at least a half hour, 45 minutes to entertain you every single day and feel like, you know, even without the games being there as a part of escapism, and we still take this very, very seriously, and we'll continue with updates every single day as they happen. But I think at some point, Matt, you and I don't want to sit here and do a podcast that's just talking about updated coronavirus updates every single day. I think people want 30 to 45 minutes of maybe a little bit of an escape from all of this. And hopefully you and I can try and provide that.
And we can talk about, you know, potential offseason moves, even though, you know, the offseason calendar might be a little wonky. You know, what the Bulls do from here. We can talk about potential new head coaching replacements and hires. We could talk about potential new front office hires, as we've heard that the Bulls are planning to shift around the front office this summer. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll go back and do that bit we used to do back in the day where we look back on, you know, this day in Bulls history or something like that, or relive some great Bulls moments of yesteryear. Because, you know, that's what we are here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are your team every day, and we will continue to be that and to do that and to provide that for our fellow Bulls fans and our fellow NBA fans. Last thought from me, Jordan, and then we can get out of here. Do you think it's a coincidence that on the day after Jim Boylan took a double timeout, the NBA is in an indefinite timeout? I part of me wants to blame Jim Boylan more than I want to blame Rudy Gobert.
Oh, man. I had to hold everything I could back from firing off a tweet yesterday when the NBA got canceled, and I was going to say something along the lines of breaking news, Jim Boylan wanted to use his last timeout in order to prevent the coronavirus from stopping the rest of the NBA season. I felt like it was a little bit, with the mass hysteria last night, it probably wouldn't have added anything. I did see some people absolutely dunking on Rudy Gobert, though, but Jim Boylan, oh man. He, you know, that's the other thing is, like, this is just going to completely deter. I know it won't deter Bulls fans, but it's going to deter a lot of people from thinking about how big of a dumpster fire this season was as a whole for this Bulls team. A lot of disappointment for fans. And that's something that I feel like you and I can have deep discussions about over the next month or so until we find out if the draft is still on, find out what's going to happen, maybe where the Bulls are going to end up with the lottery. And that's the shittiest part, Matt, is this is all cursed. This rebuild is cursed, I feel like, at this point, because where do we end up? Where do we end up right now as the season is suspended? Seventh worst record in the league. Seventh.
If no more regular season games are played, Bulls will be slotted seventh in the draft lottery.
I mean, I tried to ask CBS News if that was a good way that they tweeted out that you can't prevent coronavirus from cocaine and bleach. I mean, I was trying to figure out if that was a way of coping with being the number seven overall pick for the fourth year in a row. So didn't get a response from CBS, but maybe they will in the coming days.
I'm gonna advise our listeners to say no. Do not try to treat your seventh spot in the lottery depression with cocaine and or bleach. if you want to self-medicate with all the booze in the world and some legal Illinois marijuana, you go right ahead. No judgments here. In fact, my roommates and I stocked up with some Costco quantities of booze a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this. Other doomsday preppers are getting canned foods and toilet paper. Nah, we stocked up on booze. Because if shit hits the fan, I want to be so drunk that I don't know what's going on.
That is true. That's a good one, because, I mean, if you're at a hole, what else are you going to do? And there's no sports to gamble on. There's nothing to watch. So might as well hang out and get drunk, right? So,
in the words of Peter Griffin, let's go drink till we can't feel feelings.
Well, as far as the Bulls, they'll have plenty of time to kind of think about what's going on here for the rest of the season and what their plans are for the offseason, which God knows they need a lot of time to think about this. Yeah. So with that, I think
they got plenty of time to think about all the things they've done wrong.
With that, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks so much for listening. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Want to make sure you guys get your voicemails and texts in. I know this coming up over the next few weeks, you guys are going to be very important to the show, too. I know we've kind of waned away from voicemails and text over the last few weeks, few months, too. So this is your opportunity. If you want to drop us a voicemail or a text, do that at 331-979-1369. Tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Keep clean. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We understand.
Gar is absolutely safe, yes.
We understand better than anyone.
There are many, many intangibles. We want Jim to be our head coach next season.
We know as well as anyone that we've not done anything.
Here in the Advocate Center, in this building, they've been in this building.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
I think people understand what we're trying to build. I think people can see that too.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com